is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Who's the real MVP of the soil, the hero of the harvest? The Agrarian Awards 2025 is here, and we want you to nominate the farmer who's growing greatness in your community. 8 categories up for grabs and a chance to win up to $50,000 in cash prizes. Brought to you by the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources and the Agricultural Development Organization, honoring the hands that feed the nation. Start your nomination, the Agrarian Awards 2025.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 26th of August, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. The producer didn't play any music this morning to start the show because I already singing with Ganep. It's Ganep, my Ganep tree. Bad. I didn't want to say anything out loud because I didn't want the raccoon to know. The raccoon be listening on to the radio. Everybody listen to Guardian Radio, you know. So I had to keep the word down. But I want to say thank you to the raccoon for letting my Ganep live a little bit this year. Again, I think I shared this yesterday. I'm gonna share it again. This is one of the things I learned is that raccoon don't eat sour salt. At least nobody trained them to eat sour salt. Y'all, Mark and Fox Hill, the boy who trained the raccoon. Mark has to be the most wonderful man. He has to have the most sense, you know, the gentlest soul that God would trust little animals with him. This boy has raised raccoons. Wow. And they love him. they love him like a child loves their daddy, right? Uh-huh. That's how it works. Anyway, Mark, don't teach the raccoon how to eat sour salt. Okay?
That's an expensive fruit.
It
right
is.
Now. Yeah.
And very valuable. Joining into the conversation just now is Mr. Philip Smith, founder of the Agricultural Development Organization. We're talking to them this morning. And Mr. Smith, if I tell you I lost your note in that bag of Ganep, don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. We're talking about a lot of things today. And joining us in the conversation, I have a local vegan chef, Ms. Carnetta Saunders, right?
Yes.
Good morning. Now, while Mr. Smith is talking about agriculture, the things we can grow, how we can grow them, Ms. Saunders is going to tell us how we could eat them, how we could make them taste like the most scrumptious stuff, right? Because I want to show you that immediately, and this is a part, I think, of the process of the work that ADO is doing. We want to show you immediately what the value of the things we grow is. The value is, and the values are. Anyway, the point is, the things taste good, and we're missing out. We're missing out on the best parts of our own country. Now, before we get deep into the show, let me remind you, the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Wheel Competition 2025 is still in play. Over $450 in cash prize, and we have gifts and local and international vendors as well. The competition is open to junior and high school students throughout the archipelago. To win the prize, you need to submit 2 pieces of information. The government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. That's the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. And the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. That's the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. You call in the show, ask to speak to, say you want to play the game, we're going to transfer you to the producer. You give the producer your information. Someone from the organization will call you by end of day and let you know if you're a winner or you should do some more research and play again the next day. There'll be four winners chosen, one from New Providence, one from Grand Bahama, one from San Salvador, and one from the rest of the Family Islands. There's a clue in the instructions. I hope you grasped it. Okay. Good morning, Mr. Smith. How are you?
I'm great. I'm grateful. Great to be here, alive, and doing God's work.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're here today to tell us about the Agricultural Development Organization and some of the things that's happened about it. Let us then about some of the events and activities that are coming up in the near future. Okay, so I read that ADO, Agricultural Development Organization Bahamas, is a non-government body dedicated to finding a solution to the growing food insecurity problem in the Bahamas. I am excited about this conversation because I'm an intersectional human rights advocate, and food security as a human right is a part of my work. So tell us more about ADO.
Okay, so the mission is to make locally grown food sustainable. Okay, and you know, that's been a challenge for a number of years in the Bahamas, and we know how important that is today, the fact that, you know, you have shipping issues that you have seen recently, and you know, a number of things could happen that could, we may not be able to eat if we cannot.
Right. From external economic and political dynamics and factors can affect our ability to feed ourselves, to local or external natural disasters, conflict or war. A number of things can determine our ability to feed ourselves that many of us have no control over.
Absolutely. And so we feel, and I'm sure you agree, like you said, that it's imperative that we begin to feed ourselves, you know. We import more than 90, that's over $1 billion. And so having, you know, locally grown sustainability, locally grown food sustainable, I think it's very, very important. So that is our mission. How do we bring this about throughout the Bahamas where we can eat what we grow and grow what we eat? And we have, what we have done so far, just to give you an idea of what we have done to try and achieve this, we have been focused in three areas in particular. We have been focused in community farms. We have established six community farms already. We would like to put a community farm in every constituency in the Bahamas. That's a total of 39. So we want to have at least 39 community farms within the next 3 years, 2 to 3 years.
All right. And you have 32 currently or 36?
I'm sorry. I wish. It's six.
Okay, six.
Yes,
which islands and areas are they located
so
in?
So five of them in Nassau, one in Rolville-Exuma.
Rolville-Exuma. Yeah. Why not Eleuthera?
Oh, that's coming up.
Because you know, Jamestown is, you know how many mosquitoes they have in Jamestown? I mean, they could help on the farm. They ain't doing nothing but biting people. Anyway, I'm only... Every part of the environment has a role to play, right, in the farming process as well.
Absolutely.
So we congratulate the mosquitoes.
And that's the great thing about it, that you can truly bring the community together. You know, I've been reaching out to the members of Parliament. They're very excited about this idea. So they're becoming involved by locating the property. We just got one Royal Caribbean, agreed to support one in Centerville, and then Atlantis has agreed to support one in
Freetown area.
It's immigration is.
Oh, okay, so a little further west.
What's his name? Alfred's there. Yeah. What's his constituents?
It's either Bamboo Town or no, it's Fort Charlotte.
Fort Charlotte.
Yeah, a little further west.
Fort Charlotte.
Okay.
So Fort Charlotte and Centerville will be coming up very soon, but we are pushing very hard. We we'll be partnering with a number of persons and organizations to make this happen. So that's one that, you know, that we are very focused on. And what we do is we employ farm helps, we employ an extension officer, and we have an expert, an agricultural expert on staff And the reason we do that is so that we are not relying entirely on volunteers, mm-hmm. because in order to ensure the success of these farms, we feel we have to have persons employed that.
Mm-hmm. And we want to compensate people appropriately for their contribution.
Absolutely.
I know we have we may have a number of retired or available volunteer farmers, but I think it's important also to show value, right, and to show young people that these are jobs that pay and pay well.
Yes.
Preparing yourself for a trade like this.
Yes, and so one of the other persons that we employ is someone called a community engagement officer.
Okay.
Who goes into the community, put together the volunteers, and then responsible for the distribution of the product when at harvesting. And so the community engagement officer is very important as well. So the other thing we are doing is combining community farms with the backyard farm.
Okay.
Okay, so we have distributed over 4,000 backyard farming kits already, and we, within the next 2 to 3 years, we want to have a total of 20,000 successful backyard farms. So the same persons that are employed for the community farm will assist with the
backyard farms. And I love it. The community engagement officer,
yes,
identifies existing resources, whether they're human in terms of volunteers,
yes,
right, or whether it's produce and farmland, people growing in their backyards. Because,
yes,
now when it comes to the distribution side, right, then they could say, well, listen, the larger community farm only produced 50 pounds of tomatoes this year, but after engaging the backyard farmers in the community, we've determined that we have 100 pounds of surplus tomato, right? 100 pounds of tomatoes they don't know what to do with.
Yes.
And then we can collect them and then insert them in the distribution system.
Yes. So the other thing we're doing within the community, farmers market. Okay, so excess product, like you mentioned, you know, we will sell at these farmers markets. So we want to have a farmers market for, not for every constituency, but what we are thinking of is combining three of the constituencies together, mm-hmm. and having one farmers market for three of those farms, right?
Right.
And what we have done recently, for example, ADO just partnered with Atlantis.
Okay.
To a farmers market at Atlantis, and we have had a few already.
Okay.
On Saturdays. And also with Marathon Mall, we partnered with Marathon Mall to put a farmers market at the mall there.
As well.
So, you know, the challenge for farmers has been, and you probably experienced this, getting their product to the market, you know, and I don't think the farmer is trained in that area,
yeah,
you know, and so.
And not only that, the farmer rarely has enough time to focus sufficiently on those dynamics,
absolutely,
right? Because it's the dynamic, I know that I'm harvesting on Wednesday. Yeah. I may even call my suppliers or distributors and tell them, listen, we're harvesting on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Distribution will begin Wednesday afternoon into Thursday, right?
Yeah.
But then on Sunday and Monday or Saturday and Sunday, we had a heat wave, mm-hmm. and all my things ripened 2 days earlier.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have the time to call everybody and let them know, listen, harvesting is going to be 2 days earlier. I don't have air conditioning to store the food, so I'm going to have to begin shipping as soon as I harvest. I need your, right? Do I have the boxes? Oh, no, I was going to pick up the boxes on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things a farmer has to concern themselves as tending to the produce they grow in.
Absolutely. And it's too difficult.
Yeah.
It's too difficult. And so we want to be an integral part of a supply chain management, you know. So that's everything, you know, persons, farmers in the family island where you have shipping.
Yeah.
Everything that's involved with
communication, shipping, proper storage and handling, proper tracking. You know, for instance, you don't know if how many times the tomatoes sweat. They went from cool to hot to,
yeah,
cool to hot.
Right.
These things need to be tracked so that we can determine the quality of the produce.
Absolutely, because it has to be consistency and quality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Right.
Because.
Well, because that's a good business practice, but more importantly, because local produce has a challenge. It is competing against imported produce, but not just imported produce. Uh-huh. See, it's competing against imported ideas in our minds, mm-hmm. right? And so that local food has to break through our minds and our culture and right, and the marketing that we've been subjected to. Uh-huh. Market, I served a girl a glass of local lemonade, and she almost spat it on the ground. And I asked her, what happened? Because I was in shame. I said, what happened? She said, oh, it's all right. It just don't taste like mango. Now, this is a bull mango, what we call a hairy mango. Uh-huh. I know this is a Bahamian mango. Uh-huh. And I said, well, what would you mean it doesn't taste like mango? She said, I don't know. It don't taste like mango. She's 13, so I appreciate her responses. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, what does mango taste like? She says, Snapple. Snapple. It's an imported product.
Yes.
And I say, okay. And I got it right away. Snapple is made with a different type of mango, like an East Indian mango. It's made with a different type of mango, the flavor from the bull mango.
Yeah.
And most of our imported mango products are made from that mango there and has that profile. Uh-huh. She was totally unfamiliar with what local mango tasted like and what it should taste like in a drink.
Wow. Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're going. Yeah. Carla, we coming to you in a second.
Okay, I wanted to tell a story
yes.
about, so another area that we are focused on is school farm. So we have done, as I said, 32 schools, right? So I just want, when you brought up that mm-hmm. story, it reminded me of a story. So we were at a school, I think it was E.P. Roberts. No, not E.P. Roberts. At a school in Disney Cruise Line, and ADO partnered with this school
mm-hmm.
in Abaco. I can't remember the name of this.
I got you right. I have it in my notes right now. Patrick J. Bethel High School.
That's the name of the school. Thank you so much.
Yep.
So to tell a story, we had when Disney and their volunteers came to the farms 6 months after we planted along with the kids and we harvested and then we prepared a salad from the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the kids were not interested in salads. They don't eat salads. So we encouraged them, come on, try the salad.
You know? Yeah.
And when they tasted that salad, they were like, oh my God, it's delicious. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it.
Man.
You know, but here you had, just like the point you were making, that they were not accustomed to eating salads because it just didn't taste good. And that would tell you that when we grow it ourselves,
mm-hmm.
it's a different taste.
It's imbued with so much more than what you get from what's imported.
Absolutely. And the other thing, the beauty of it was that here they were eating what they had planted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was powerful.
Ms. Sanders, join in.
The difference is with fresh lettuce, it tastes better than mm-hmm. store-bought.
Mm-hmm.
And you get more nutrients from it. Yeah. Recommend
local grown.
Yeah,
it tastes a whole lot better, and it holds up longer.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about the complete value of eating local, but I want to entertain these callers. I can get Rao in a second. Producer, let's go to the first caller. Good morning, caller.
How you doing, girl?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I have a story for you.
Yes, sir.
Mother Stork, you know, ate a solid across PI a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And after she tasted it,
she said, take me to the farm.
From, you know, where are these from?
Mm-hmm.
The girl who owns them.
Holy Farms.
Holy Old Farms.
Yeah.
And that next Monday, she was in a taxi heading down Carmichael Road.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, now.
Let me say it. In 2008, Martha Stewart documented in the international media that the best taste of life were consumed in the Bahamas and came from a farm called Holy Farms that's owned and tended by one Teresa Kemp.
Teresa Kemp, Holy Farms.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Holy. Anyway, I think we need to get an appreciation for the differences in taste between GMO and non-GMO products.
Right.
Amen. Now, you know, I have this theory. I try to eat a soil-based thing every day. Okay? Now, why I do that is that because it's non-GMO, it has trace elements in it that tend to act like stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
And they go around the body trying to fix stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I like to pretend, you know, when they talk about free radicals in your body, I pretend that that's what they're talking about. Uh-huh. They're just moving through the body, fixing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, just the stuff, man. You know, I tried to give a friend some pears. Last year, you know, and I said, you know, these don't look
good.
These are supposed to look all taste like the ones in the store. You know, long necks and they spread like butter.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, the long neck pear.
Like butter.
Now listen, I want to say thank you. I got to put a word in. Put a word in for the importers, because at this point in time, we acknowledge that we can't survive without them.
No,
this conversation is not to diminish the capacity or the role of the importers, right? But it is just
John Shea.
Yeah, it is to expose the. Don't say that. John Shea is my cousin. You have to fight, man. Oh my goodness.
What happened? No. They are doing a good job, man.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Right, and it's about a more informed consumer that can go to the distributor and say, look here, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what I'm unable to find locally. Get this for me, please, right?
Oh,
that's,
and hey,
yeah.
On your first point, when the stuff is ready, right, and the farmer knows when the stuff is going to be on the ground, you know, a WhatsApp platform should be in place where the stuff is.
They're going for it.
They could show up.
Yes.
They will show up.
Okay. Listen, I want to say thank you. I got another call. I got the boards lit up and everybody will jump in the conversation. But I want to say that marketing and breaking through the merchant culture. Like I say, we're not diminishing the merchants. We're not diminishing the importers. But just quickly, as a local vendor and distributor of products at one time, I realized quickly that the bulk of the work is not in growing the food. The bulk of the work is in shifting the culture around consumption, how we consume and what we consume, how we buy and when we buy. And the sense of empowerment we feel with the idea that I got money and I could go into a store anytime and get whatever I want. Versus the sense of empowerment when you get that WhatsApp message saying the sweet pepper reach. And you could go out there. There was a time when you could get the best sweet peppers in this region at $3 for two large. The best locally grown sweet peppers in this region. Two large ones for $3. We can't anymore because that production has come to an end, right? But we'd be surprised at the value that's sitting right in. I'm talking about the best sweet peppers in the region. Anyway, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. What you growing? Oh, caller. Sorry, I miss you. Good morning, caller. What you growing?
Good morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
I good, thank you.
Boy, you know, some people comprehend the show in a whole different way. Distribution, farming. All you need to do is add in a plane or a boat, and you know, this people take this whole door. All you have to do now is tell someone pushing the limit.
No, I don't have a license. I have not been granted a cannabis license yet, so we're not talking about that type of agriculture.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Some people, boy, they even push the limit after this. School, you forget school open next 2 weeks, eh?
No, I appreciate. That's why we're trying to show people alternate revenue streams in a tight and strangled economic, right? Like in a market. And the truth is, we just don't understand how many people have put their children and their grandchildren through university on farming.
Yep.
We don't.
Especially on Andrews.
Yeah, and Abaco.
Yep.
And Inusra.
Uh-huh.
And Exuma. And back in the day, the Southern Islands as well used to hold that those man, that mantle, right? Mm. There was the, and Cascarilla still holding the fort.
Talk. Is it moving on White or Red and Champagne? Which one? Oh, the Cascarilla bar.
Man, right now I know of three products being sold locally. One is the one we know, the foreign one, the Campari. Then there's one called Barilla, which is made by people based in Acklands, rooted in Acklands. And then there's another one called Amaro, right? And both of them, they're different. They sort of highlight different elements of the Cascarilla and make them bloom, but they're fantastic local products.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Man, let me go back on the plantation and finish cutting things again. Master calling me.
Man, I need you to pick some Guinep so that we could make, so we could extract the Guinep juice, and then we could store that, because when Guinep season is over, the heat wave will still be here. We still gonna have to ride out September and October till things start to cool down. And that Guinep lemonade we're gonna make from that Guinep juice is going to help everybody keep their temperature down, regulate the, you know, your internal cooling systems. It's gonna help you with dehydration. Even Guinep, I like to call it a superfood, but I'm not an expert.
Okay.
Ms. Anderson.
My late husband used to make ice cream from the indigenous fruits, like the sea grape.
Yeah. Now, your husband was a vegan chef. Did he make vegan and non-vegan ice cream?
Both.
Because we make only vegan ice creams and sorbets, right, using coconut milk.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
That is the base.
Okay.
The oil in the coconut is the base.
Okay, all right.
For producing the ice cream.
Now listen, just a quick note. Ms. Sanders, you notice that these fancy people serving olive oil ice cream and they put in the olive oil, they drizzle in a little olive oil on the ice cream. You think we could do that with coconut oil? And although, see, because coconut oil's melting point is so low. Anyway, it cools so quickly and it solidifies so quickly. I don't know how if it would work on the ice cream, but these people all over the place selling olive oil ice cream in the Bahamas.
Really?
I'm jealous.
I haven't heard of it.
I'm so jealous. I'm going to go experiment with coconut oil ice cream.
Wow, where would you find that?
I have a friend named Chef Wayne Munker. Uh-huh. Wherever he is, they got the fanciest ice creams.
Interesting.
In fact, just another quick tidbit until we're going to go back into some more details about ADO. Chef Munker made an ice cream that tasted like Christmas morning. It was an allspice infused ice cream, and it tasted like, you know, when you bake the ham Christmas morning and you slice the ham.
Uh-huh.
It tasted like Christmas morning when Lila Green pulled the ham out the oven and cut that first slice. It had watercress, and it was like a deconstructed pineapple tart-ish, pineapple ham in the morning. And it was all local, right? It just took, not just all local, but it took me back to Christmas morning. And these are the things that we could be doing in the Bahamas if we knew that the produce is available, you know? But I want to know what ADO is cooking up. And then we're going to get to what Ms. Sanders is cooking up, because Ms. Sanders has brought in a couple of samples of the items that she makes. So that I want people to believe, right? This is what we do in our company. We grow a culture of appreciation for local produce by showcasing it, showing you what you can do with it. And more importantly, showing you how it works. We're going to talk with ADO about how I could become a member or a volunteer. And what does ADO have to do with the Agrarian Awards? And could they put in a word for me? Because I'm going to nominate myself otherwise. Anyway, you're on the clock with Erin Green. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. for every heart in the world. See how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Parents, are you still deciding which school is the best fit for your child? Or are you looking for a new school where your child will truly excel in academics, leadership, and skills development? At Akapran International Academy, we unlock brilliance through academics and unique programs. At Akapran, our slogan is clear: excellence without excuse. Our small, powerful school prepares students for global changes driven by technology, digital literacy, and artificial intelligence. At Akapran, your child will surely find their passion, profession, and their purpose. We offer classes in all GLAC and BGCSE subjects. We empower students to excel, not just in school, but in life through our courses that includes aviation, STEM, robotics, cosmetology, technology, culinary, dance, and graphic design. We shape scholars into leaders who are ready to embrace new jobs and careers of the 21st century. Enroll your child today and let us support their educational journey. Call us at 826-3589 or 324-9212. Akapran International Academy, building student leaders to become global citizens.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Ronnie Butler said, by the time I get to breakfast, she'll just be waking, and I'll be finishing the stew, fish, and grits. Oh, man. And you know what? We get plenty, plenty songs about our culture, but I know what? We don't have enough songs about what you could eat in the Bahamas. We just don't have enough, and I don't care how many you say we have enough. In fact, I want you to know that our tourists, our guests, our visitors, those who visit us for a couple of hours, for a couple of days, for a couple of months, they're tickled by it. When I'm doing my music research and I'm finding these songs I've never heard before in the comment section on YouTube, it's lone foreigners talking about how excited they are to hear this song again and the experience that the song and the memory is tied to, right? And we got all of these experiences, eating the conch straight from the horn, because you didn't know how they used to eat the conch back in the day. Mm-hmm. Young people think that's an abomination now, rubbing salt and pepper and lime on the conch and just putting it in your mouth. They don't even know what that is, right? We need songs to remind them, songs to inform them of what life is and how grand life could be in the Bahamas. Eddie Minnis wasn't joking when he tell the girl in the song, oh no, I's a millionaire. My daddy have cocoa plum and sea grape and scarlet plum. And he said it because it meant something then. It meant something to be an agricultural baron, because the the most power is in the capacity to feed people and show people how to feed themselves. Okay, Mr. Smith, the second annual, no, listen, because it's not annual, it's every 2 years. Right. The second biannual Agrarian Awards is coming up 18th of October,
right.
2025, but the deadline for submissions is even closer.
Yes, the deadline for submission is the end of this month.
Yes.
Okay, so Aaron, I know you would be in there, right? You will be a part of
If I have to submit my own nomination,
yeah.
I'm going to submit the study on how I observed and learned that raccoon don't eat sour sop.
Yeah, so what it is, it's like Aaron said, it's our second. We did once before. And it's ADO partners with the government, the Ministry of Agriculture,
mm-hmm.
in this event. And or what ADO does is basically is raise the funds for the prizes, the cash prize,
okay.
which amounts to about $60,000 and $80,000, I believe. So the prizes, there are 10 categories, and you have the best backyard farm, the best community farm, best schools farm, best adult male farmer, best adult female farmer, best.
You have the Prime Minister's Youth Farm of the Year, Commercial Farm of the Year,
mm-hmm.
Governor General's Community Farm of the Year,
yes.
School Farm of the Year, mm-hmm. People's Choice Backyard Farmer of the Year,
yes.
Agri-Processor of the Year, and the Premier Awards are the Minister's Choice Lifetime Achievement Award and the Emerald Pioneer Award.
Yes.
Now, I found an article, and I'm so happy because the ministry has announced the recipients of the Minister's Choice Lifetime Achievement Award and the Emerald Pioneer Award. And let me say that I want to get them. The Emerald Pioneer Award will go to Mr. Forrester Bow.
Yes.
Mr. Bow is, first of all, y'all hold, mm-hmm. from Forest Exuma. He's recognized for decades of livestock farming and advocacy for sustainable agriculture. He's actively farming today. He recalled his journey from racetrack jockey to major livestock producer. And I had to put this one in bold. And he talked about his work developing coconut plantations.
Mm.
See, I think people need to know that it existed before so they know it could exist again.
Absolutely.
Right? Coconut plantations. And right now, I estimate we have millions and millions of coconut trees across the archipelago of the Commonwealth waiting to be organized into industry.
Absolutely. And what an industry that it can become. Huh?
Yes. And the Emerald the Emerald Pioneer Award...
Yeah.
Goes to our favorite mango uncle,
yes.
Our favorite Greek uncle, Mr. Pericles Melis.
Yes,
and he has also made a stellar contribution to farming. And he talked about or reflected on his life growing up on a farm.
Yes.
I want you all to know, sometimes it's difficult to imagine a little Pericles Melis, because he's a giant of a man,
yeah.
right? But him on the farm chasing down pig and trying to catch chicken like one of our submissions for the Backyard Farming People's Choice Award,
yes.
who's a very, very young man, yeah. but he is a stellar chicken catcher. He could catch chicken. Anyway, it's a pleasure to honor these two Bahamians for their contributions to our lives.
Yes. So it's going to be a very nice event. The judging would take place beginning in September.
Mm-hmm.
And the event, like we said, it's going to be a black tie event on the 18th of October at Atlantis. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be quite an event.
Absolutely. Know. Tickets are $75 individually. I think there's a group rate for tables. But reach out to ADO. Oh, reach out to ADO for more details.
Yes, that's.
And you have contact information. I know the website is available. If you search agricultural development.
ADOBahamas.org.
All right.
ADOBahamas.org.
And then you can contact bsmith@bamseybahamas.com. That's bsmith@bamseybahamas.com for more details about the Agrarian Awards.
And please, anyone you want to be in this competition, please
August 31st is the deadline?
August 31st is the deadline.
All right. And this year they're going to have live performances by the Royal Bahamas Defense Force Band, special musical guests, Gourmet Fine Dining, Nigelis. I have to go. I have to get nominated this year.
Yeah.
Games, door prizes, and dancing.
Yep. It's going to be a very nice event. So we're excited about it. And, you know, farmers, I'm very excited about the youth. Awards mm-hmm. because we all know that most of the farmers today are over the age of 60. So we are trying really hard to get more of the youth, more youth involved in farming. And I'll tell you a quick story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the other thing is to show the success of farming. You know, that people could see farmers that are successful.
Yes.
You know, financially.
And not just paying their bills, but generating a profit, growing their enterprise and their lives.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. So I'll tell you a very quick story. I have a grandson. He is 17. I don't know how that happened because I'm only 34.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandson, I asked him on a number of occasions, I'm like, Obi, come on, man. Why don't you get into agriculture? Oh, no, Granddad, I'm not interested. So I asked him again, and this time I'm pressing and pushing.
Yeah.
Come on, man. It's a great industry, and I will help you, whatever you need, you know. Not for me. I said, what if you could make $75,000?
I for that.
Mm-hmm. So you see, it's all about them seeing successes. You know, if they could see the success, financial success here.
Yeah,
you know, like you say, more than just pay the bills. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
What I'm going to start doing is I'm going to start taking young people to high-end restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, where you get the amuse-bouche, which is a piece of food that's only 2 bites. That's what amuse-bouche means. It means you're going to be amused that you finish this food in 2 bites. I'm going to take them to very fancy places. And so when you get that little small plate and there's 1 inch of cucumber slivered onto the plate in a fancy design, I can let them know, see that dish, they cost $50 for the, mm-hmm. with that one little piece of cucumber on it. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to get in this agriculture game with me? So go sit in the office with AC then and tie in tight shoes all the time. You could be in the soil, in the sun, in the wind, in the breeze, enjoying nature.
Yeah, man.
Okay, now, Ms. Sander, yes.
Yeah. Just let me make this last point. This idea of the Agrarian Award, you know, where ADO is coming together with the government, I think is a great example of private and public coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the supply chain management that we were talking about, getting that farmer to the market, I think that's a great area where the government, this could be a PPP as well.
Right.
Because the government has, you know, resources already in the family islands, storage mm-hmm. facilities, and so on.
And when you hear, I think when you hear farmers calling out for assistance, right, mm-hmm. in particular farmers in Andrus a few months ago were concerned about a national policy decision to certify the importation of 80 agricultural products from the Dominican Republic. Those farmers said, hey, hold on, but we grow in many of these things here. Why don't you help us build capacity? And I think these are the areas that the farmers are asking for assistance in, right? And like you say, the government may not be able to see it because the solution requires a PPP. A different type of mechanism to bring solutions to those farmers.
Absolutely.
I'm glad to see it. Now, Mr. Smith, we have to talk to Ms. Sanders about what's in this container. So, Ms. Sanders has brought for us an example, and for the audience, an example of what can be produced with local agriculture, right? And and produce in particular, vegetables, right? And how you can add value to them in ways you never thought. So this morning, Ms. Sanders brought with us the infamous mushroom burger. She brought a whole snack, a whole combo. It comes with wedges as well and 3 dips. Ms. Sanders, tell us about like the value of this burger.
Well, I created that. I mean, my late husband put that recipe together.
Mm-hmm.
is made up of mushroom, bell peppers. You see the bell peppers on there.
Mm-hmm.
You see the lettuce and these, and you order your burger. So he thought about a snack.
Yeah.
As you know, little children, they like...
Little children is me. I like fries.
They like the fries and they like burgers. So mm-hmm. that is a healthy snack for someone who looking to change their diet
mm-hmm.
and go plant-based.
Right. It's a great transition. Like, yes. If you're looking to transition, it's something familiar.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the feel of a burger in my hands and the feel of a burger in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to make that transition. Do you find your customers prefer the plant-based meat alternate options over, I want to say, factory-produced and processed? That's the word I want to use, processed meat alternatives?
Well, I have this one customer. She, before, a lot of the veg, and then she wants either chicken or salmon. So for her,
mm-hmm.
just give a lot of veg and her chicken and salmon. But then there are others who want to lose a little bit of weight.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones who will go straight in with just the plant-based.
The veggies. Yeah. Yeah.
And we have the quinoa burger.
Okay.
We do quinoa burger. We do black bean burger.
And, you know, I grew black beans.
Yeah.
For a very short period of time in my backyard.
Okay.
I mean, I grew them in the birds' aid. I could grow them here. All right.
Yeah. So there are a lot of dishes that make from just the veggies
mm-hmm.
that we produce on our menu.
Okay.
Daily, 5 days a week, Monday to Friday.
Tell me the name of the place and the number so when I call, I could be polite. As opposed to calling and just saying, give me one of them mushroom burger, please.
Well, mm-hmm. if you see, I am wearing the shirt.
All
Chef,
right.
Chef W Vegan Lunchbox.
Okay.
And the number is 455-2672.
455-2672.
Yes, I sent out a daily menu. A daily menu will go out today for tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah.
See?
And you have to put in your order by today. Mm-hmm. For
tomorrow. This is good. This is great stuff. It's not just about business practicality, right? Like this, how am I going to know? How am I going to be able to make your food if I don't know what to order? But also it shifts culture around consumption. It makes people start thinking, no, you know what? I have to think about what I want to eat tomorrow today. There's a joke. I could only tell part of it, right? But some workmen were on site and the big boss came to the island. And he said, okay, talk to them. He said, okay, I'm going for lunch. And so one little voice peeped out from behind and said, oh, are we going for lunch? Right? And the big boss turned around and he said, listen, I could be honest with you. If you didn't plan to eat, I hope you don't plan to get hungry. Right? But a lot of the sort of bad choices we make are because we make the choice too late, right? And that we're not actively thinking about what we're going to consume and giving ourselves time to ensure that we could have that we ordered it in time, right? That we thought about it. And then you say, oh, I missed them. I can go get that from over there. It's not as healthy as what we could have had if we prepared ourselves. All right.
So once you send me your number, I add it to my broadcast list.
Mm-hmm. What is your husband's name?
Whitfield Sanders.
Whitfield Chef W.
Yeah, Chef.
You're carrying on his name.
Yes, yes.
And where did he work before he passed?
Well, he used to work for Miss Dassler.
Okay.
Who owned Adidas in the private home.
Oh, he was a private chef.
Yeah, and also the Life Wiki Club.
Okay.
Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
In the banquet. He was a banquet chef.
Okay, awesome. And these are recipes that he developed?
Yes. We also did a New Life.
Mm-hmm.
We created their menu.
Okay.
During COVID, they let us go.
I understand. Yeah. Constraints. So that's okay.
That's when we went into our own thing.
Sometimes one door opens to let you into another room.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, Chef Sanders, I'm excited. I don't know if y'all could see this burger on the camera, but we're going to cut this up and sample it up amongst the staff here. We're going to try this. It looks awesome. Mr. Philip Smith, Agricultural Development Organization, I'd love to have you can identify the areas in which a PPP, like this relationship partnership between the government, the ADO, and other sponsors, are growing the agricultural space while the farmers focus on growing the food. Absolutely. Thank you for joining me again, Ms. Carnetta Saunders, vegan chef, and Mr. Philip Smith from Agricultural Development Organization Bahamas. It's been a yummy, yummy time.
Yes.
Oh, y'all, don't forget, make some Gnab lemonade, please. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Thank you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.